Good evening, everyone. Welcome tonight. I am going to, on Wednesday night, if you weren't here, we talked about a verse in Proverbs that the wisdom or the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. And I'm going to stay on that theme because there was another story in the Word of God that I wanted to get to that explains that beautifully. And I never had time that night, and I want to continue this because I think it's so important that we understand that the fear of God and the church preaching that fear, that within people in our society, there's already a fear of death. And God has placed that fear in all humanity. You don't have to go very far and talk to people. They look at the circumstances whenever they're at and in the world, and they're scared to death tomorrow. And the harvest is just completely ripe in our day and age for the gospel. As Jesus said, the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. The world is perfect in its place right now for the gospel of Jesus Christ and crucified. In no greater age than right now, in this day and age, is the most ripest time the world has ever known for the light and the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and his death upon the cross. The problem is, as Mark alluded to, there's no laborers. There's no preachers left. There's no men and women of God anymore anointed by the Holy Spirit giving people what they need to know. That God's already gone forth and made people afraid of death. People are scared to close their eyes. People are in hospital beds, on their deathbeds, shaking, not knowing what's going to happen until they die. The problem with it is that there's nobody left anymore for God to send forth and tell somebody, it's good that you fear death. It's good that you fear God. Now know this. That if you'll believe in what Jesus did at the cross, you'll be spared the death, the second death, the eternal death that the Bible talks about. You can be free from the power of the sin nature, released from the bondage of sin, and any addiction on earth must fall, must crumble, must dissipate off of you, and allow the righteousness of God to be imputed to you. Nothing on earth can stop that except your own unbelief. But the problem with it is that people want to naturally walk the fence when it comes to the gospel. People would like to walk the line, slide along the line. Our kids play hockey. In the game of hockey, the puck has to cross the full line to be a goal. If it's half on the line, it's not a goal. If 90% of the puck is on the line and 10% touching the red goal line, it is not a goal. It's disqualified. You have to cross the line. You have to completely believe and take the message of the cross, forsaking all other things that you know and been taught, and take the message in the cross and its fullness. Just hear it and believe it and know and fear God that if I walk the line in this message, I'll be counted as an unbeliever. I'll be looked at as one. God will say to you, I never knew you. You might have sat in the pews with some that I knew. You might have hung out with some that I knew. But between you, God will say to you, between you and I never knew you. You work, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. You know, in this message of the cross, people always say that you guys just believe in the cross and then you just do whatever you want. And it's the natural default of the religion or unreligious, really. People say, you guys are not accountable for what you do. You can just say, I believe in the cross, and you can do whatever you want. The problem with that logic is the church has done that, but they do in a different fashion. The church completely is not accountable to their doctrine at all. They can go whatever way they want, and say God showed them this way. They can have a board meeting, walk out with another plan tomorrow and say the Lord gave them. But this church has been made by the fear of God accountable to the message of the cross. That other ministries that once preached the message of the cross have fallen by the wayside, but something has kept the ministers and the people within this church to stay fast to the cross of Christ when the entire world is pulling away. What has been that? It is the move and the power of the Holy Spirit, and we're afraid to leave the cross of Christ because we know to a certain degree the realization that God will judge us. That fear of God, that if I leave the purity and the undefiled purity of just believing what Jesus did at the cross and that alone, surely I will be judged for that. Surely I will be cast away. Surely God will not care how long I walked. The day I leave and the day I die and I have walked the fence on this and have not taken the cross and that alone, what will he account me to? He'll say, you're in unbelief. So vital that the fear of God be amongst the people of God. So important that from this pulpit comes the teaching and the preaching of the fear of God and the knowledge of what Jesus has done at the cross. And we're going to visit a story in the Word of God in the book of Joshua, chapter 2, of Rahab the harlot. And this ministry has preached on this story many, many times. And I want to touch on it tonight for the few minutes that I have to talk about two things. That the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And a little harlot in Jericho had both. And because she had both, she was saved. Saved from what? From the judgment of God. Her entire city crushed, decimated, annihilated. But from the rubble of a wall, Joshua, the Savior, goes in and picks out a harlot. The one the world and society and even the people of Israel would never expect it would be the one who would believe. But the fear of God hit a harlot. And she was afraid of God and the judgment of God. And unto her, the Bible accounted that as wisdom. To a harlot, she heard about the Savior. And that Israel had the knowledge of the Messiah. And with fear, she hangs a scarlet cord out her window and believes that that thread of blood is the only hope she has from being spared from the judgment of God. She was a wise, and she had knowledge, and she was a harlot, and God didn't care. Because God doesn't see the flesh and the acts of men and women. He's looking past that. It's all wicked. Looks at the heart of a harlot and says, she's trembling in fear. She's heard of my name. She's heard of my power. And she's scared. And I sent my messengers into her house. And they told her the answer. And she believed. And she came out of the rubble. And she came out of the dust. And she came out of a complete move of God that crushed a city to pieces, to smithereens. It was annihilated. But yet that judgment of God could not touch her. Book of Joshua, chapter 2. Starting here in verse 8. And before they were laid down, the spies, had she had hid the spies in the roof, she came up to them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, that your terror has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. I'm going to stop there. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the move, precious moving of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you tonight because somebody can hear this message, finally get healed. Somebody can finally get saved. Somebody can finally shake off the religious chains that man has shackled the hearers on this earth with. Thank you, Lord, that tonight, by the precious anointing of the Holy Spirit, the blood of Jesus can be lifted up, that you could be glorified, your work upon the cross can be lifted up, and you could draw men unto salvation, unto justification and unto righteousness. I thank you, Lord God, that somebody tonight, some desperate pair of ears can hear this fool preacher get up here and rant and rave about the blood of the Lamb and hear that. That the terror of God has already gone into the hearts of people, Lord. We thank you that you've already tilled the land and showed people the horror of sin and the fear of death. And that we, Lord God, are nothing but mere messengers, knowing a bit of knowledge, knowing that he who is dead is freed from sin. And we thank you, Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can preach this. We can be messengers of truth, messengers of the gospel. And that some, Lord, maybe just one, but it will be glorious if even one should hear this message and be saved from the power of sin, death, hell, and the grave. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise God. Oh, the blood of Jesus. I love that song. I love that song. Because for some part of my life and in the years that I went to another church, it never was, oh, the blood of Jesus. It's always thrown back in my face what I could do, what I was doing for God. Jesus was never glorified in the church I went before. Though they praised his name, though they would say praise Jesus, though they would sing songs, the work on the cross was never lifted up. It was never exalted. It never was given its rightful place as that premier and precious work that can save all men and destroy all bondages and take somebody from the shackles of religious and just doing church and finally being, as Mark talked about, finally actually enjoying the life on this earth. Finally not having to have the finances to be happy. Finally didn't have to have the admiration of friends and family to be happy. Finally you didn't have to have the approval of your boss or your coworkers to be happy. Finally you didn't have to have anything from any man or woman. But finally you could get up in the morning and have a good old fashioned happy day because you knew what Jesus did at the cross. And whatever trips and falls and snares you might have fell into that day, you could still lay your head down at night and say, gosh, what a mess of a day. But heck, the blood of the Lamb's washed it all the way. I didn't want to fail, but yet I fail. I don't want to sin, but yet I still sin. And finally, there was a longing to be changed. Finally, I want to be different. Finally realized I don't like who I am. But oh, the blood of Jesus. Gosh, I'm a mess, but I'm still happy. Still can stand upright. Still can hold my head. I don't have to grovel in the dirt. I can finally be free. See, when you're a prisoner and you're locked up for a while and they finally open up the door and you're finally let go, you leave the prison house and finally freedom. I finally can be happy. I can finally turn on the TV, watch a show, and not feel like, oh, I'm getting pulled to the flesh. I finally don't have to sit there and go on the television on the internet and put up firewalls so I don't go to these sites. Finally, something was beginning to change. Finally, you know what? Oh, man, I'd not even want to do that. I don't even want to go there. Finally, I could finally have a power and a longing for holiness and righteousness that could change me. And all I'm doing is believing in, oh, the blood of Jesus. That's uplifting. That's liberating. I wish I'd known that years ago. And the beautiful thing about it is that these people that you talk to that are doing all the religious things that they can do, they are so steeped in lies. They don't even do what they say they do. And then when somebody's always boasting about whatever they do for God, you can tell right off the bat, you don't understand the cross. Because you get the message of the cross, I don't really care. Time spent in prayer or reading. I don't care about this and that. I think about one thing now. One thing, oh, the blood of Jesus, and I'm happy, and I'm uplifted, and I'm finally walking upright. I'm enjoying life, because why? Oh, the blood of Jesus. But within that, the fear of God, the Holy Spirit still pressing. Know this, that the reason why you feel that way is because, oh, the blood of Jesus. So guard that faith. Protect that faith. Be on guard for the snares of the enemy. The Apostle Paul said, we are not unaware of his devices. Because as I preached on Wednesday night, from the beginning of time, the devil always works on minimizing your fear of God. First and foremost on the agenda of the devil concerning a believer is to get that believer to no longer fear that his faith, or his lack of faith, or his adding or his addition to the cross will cause him much pain. We've already got ministries that say they preach the cross, and they're already saying that if you begin to drift from faith exclusively in the cross, that the sin nature doesn't just come over you and take you over at that moment in time. Yes, it does. You should be afraid of what happens when you begin to take faith away from the cross and that alone. You should be deathly afraid. You should be so afraid. I don't understand this. You know, like, we live in a society where we have guards on everything. We have alarms on our cars, our houses. Everything is guarded from the thieves of men and from the stealing of men, which is right. But you live in a society where nobody guards their faith anymore. Nobody's protecting their faith because they don't believe that faith is the only qualifier with God. If you don't believe in the right object of the cross and that alone, God says you don't have any faith. If you had something so valuable, a family heirloom, you would protect it. You would put it in a safe. You would guard it. And yet the Christian today is so happy-go-lucky, so looking here, just want to embrace everybody. I just want to get along with everybody. I don't want the contention. I don't want that. I guarantee you, I don't care who your best friend is or your mother or dad. If you had something that was valuable, what do men, I mean, you think about what money does to families. They'll flat out kill each other for money. I mean, have you ever watched those crime shows? Like, every time you turn on the detective shows or the forensic files, I mean, without a shadow of a doubt, you are going to get a story about a couple where one man opens up an insurance policy on his wife, and as soon as he gets the policy enacted, he whacks her. Every single time. The love of that, the covetousness of that, that you wouldn't let anybody take your money. Yeah, when it comes to faith, it's just a free-for-all. When it comes to faith, when it comes to the salvation of the soul, you don't want to fight anybody for it. And you don't have the You don't have it in you to do it. But everybody, every believer will feel the Holy Spirit begin to push them to contend and stand up for the gospel of Christ and crucified. And that is to save the believer's soul. If you don't fight, you won't make it. Apostle Paul said, fight the good fight of the faith. That means if you're believing in the cross of Christ, you're in a fight. You're fighting against everything and everyone and in the very imagination of your own mind. And God wants his people to contend and fight for the faith, and the Holy Spirit is always there to empower. Do we always fight? No. Do we run chicken? Yes, we do. Do we run with our tail between our legs and walk out of it? Yes, we do. But guess what? The Holy Spirit says no problem. Oh, the blood of Jesus can wash away. You might have been unfaithful that day, but tomorrow's another day to fight and contend and stand for the great gospel of Jesus Christ and crucified. Why? So we can make it to the other side. Let's talk about this beautiful story in the Bible. Rahab says to the spies, she says, we heard about everything you've done. We heard about how your Lord and your God destroyed Egypt, dried up the Red Sea, and the two great kings of Og that your God and your Lord destroyed. And this little harlot knew that the next dot on the map of the judgment of God to come was coming to her town. And when she saw the spies from Israel, she knew. The target, the bullseye, the laser scope of God's wrath was coming to her town. And she and her family and many were gripped with fear. Because when Israel showed up in your town in that day, there was nothing left. When Israel came to a town in that day, whatever God we had, whatever idol you had, whatever books you had on your God, whatever teaching on your God existed, was about to be burned and decimated and completely wiped from the face of the earth. And when this little harlot saw these spies, she knew, oh my gosh, the fury of God is coming towards us. Scared out of her mind and her little heart of this God that brought these pitiful people out of Egypt. Scared out of her mind of what was going to be come to them. And you know, the beautiful thing about it is that, as I mentioned, God goes forth, the Holy Spirit has gone forth and made people completely afraid of death. Convicted people of sin. I remember even before I ever went to church or ever had a notion of Jesus Christ or God in my life, I remember being afraid of death. I remember falling off a cliff and wondering as I was in the hospital bed what would happen if I had died. I wondered and I began to ponder that and I began to be afraid of that. And that's exactly what God wants. People scared of his wrath, of his judgment after they part from this earth. And it's the church's job not to minimize that fear, not to steal that fear from people, but they to enact on that fear. The harlot's house was already ready before Joshua and his men stepped in that door. The power of the Holy Spirit had already gone forth and made her scared to death of him. Now all she needed to know, now all she needed from those guys was, how am I spared the judgment of God? How does the fury of God not stamp me off like he's done every single other nation and people that Israel has gone through? And that in alone is a type of evangelism. Did you know that tonight? Israel was evangelizing the world. They went forth and wiped out every other doctrine on the planet and people and God in their path, establishing one single authority, the Lord Jesus Christ and his death upon the cross. The testimony of the Lamb that brought out by blood, no nation withstood him. No other doctrine did they care about. God told them, you go forth, slay, kill, destroy. That's evangelism. You don't evangelize people when you compromise with them. You don't save people when you walk in and say, what does your God talk about? Let's shake hands. Let's find common ground. You save people by coming in with the message of salvation and saying, this is the only way. Believe it or die. Be saved today or perish. I would hope you would choose to be saved, but if you don't want to live and you want to die and spend eternity in hell, then go ahead, call me a clown, mock me, turn your back to me, walk away from me. But guess what? I can tell you tonight, I don't know a whole lot. I'm not a very smart guy, but there's some bit of knowledge that God's retained in this feeble brain that knows that if you die and you're not born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb, you will go to hell. It's taken a while, but it's finally set in that that is reality. The church, all they want to do is bring people to their establishment, and they do that by trying to find common ground with whatever the world's into. The world loves rock music, so we'll have rock night at church. The world loves this, we'll do this. You know, there's popular shows on television, so we'll mirror our sermons around those popular television shows. So you'll come in and you'll come in. And so all the work that the Holy Spirit's done to make men fear, make people scared of tomorrow, make people cringe and wonder what happens when I die. The church comes in and steals that fear of God and gives them a program and a way of life and a regiment and a religious dictation to do so that they feel comfortable because they're doing these things. They completely do never think about what's going to happen when they die. Keep them active, keep them busy, they'll be happy. Keep them in, get them in the door, let them give them their money. Let them come in, we'll find things for them to do. And what begins to happen? What happened with you and I? I can remember what happened with me. I was so stinking afraid to die. I was so afraid of death because I had been so close. And I was getting, as I talked about Wednesday night, I was reading the Word of God and I was reading about hell and I was beginning to fear that place. But then when I went to church, that fear, that good, holy fear of the sentencing that is due every unredeemed soul began to lose as I was brought into church life and church regiment. And I was doing everything just so I could fit the part and look like somebody who went to church. So I got baptized in water, and I come out of the water, and I think that it's all said and done. It's all taken care of. Heaven's going to heaven. They dumped him in water, and he's got nothing to worry about. And then you start living and you begin to realize, I'm completely scared again, confused again. So I thought, how do I get that assurance back? How do I get the assurance that I'm going to make it? Well, then I turned to the Lord's Supper for a while. And then I turned to prayer every morning for an hour. And then that didn't work. You work on something else. You find something else. And God's always trying to get the person, whenever they begin to lose faith in the cross, he's always trying to get them afraid again, like they were before they were even saved. Trying to get them to once again feel that holy fear of God so that, why? So that when they finally hear the message of the cross, they're ripe and they're ready again to embrace the death of Jesus Christ and that alone. So I was Rahab concerning my spiritual life. I was the harlot that was fearful. And when I heard the message of the cross preached, I knew this message contained power that I never had known, nor any other messages that I heard until that time. I was fearful that if I didn't believe this one, I was done. It's a beautiful thing. All the power of the Holy Spirit that never left but kept working, kept pushing, so that when you finally walked in this church and heard the preaching of Jesus Christ and crucified, it was as if you can put yourself in Rahab's place, a harlot, fearful of death, fearful of a life that is unworthy and unfit for the kingdom of heaven. And finally, somebody shows up, a messenger that comes upon the scene and tells you the answer. And you notice that Joshua and his men never once compromised, never once dissipated that fear that Rahab had. In fact, they go a step further and even more press that fear. You say, what am I talking about? Jump down with me to verse 18. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all the father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, this blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless, and whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any man be upon him. Rahab's scared to death of God, and the preachers of the gospel show up. And don't compromise, and don't try to dissipate the fear, but they drive home the truth and say, if you stand, if you drop that red scarlet out of your window, typifying faith in the blood of the Lamb, and you stand behind that blood, you'll be saved. If you go on the street, if you go your own way, if you heed the voice of anybody else but us, you will die. Rahab's given an ultimatum. But she's given hope. Fear hasn't left. She's still afraid of God. She's still shaking in her boots. But the preachers of the gospel gave her hope and a promise. You're going to hear other people talk, but if you listen to us, you'll be saved. If you put that scarlet thread out of the window, you'll be spared the judgment of God. What do we preach? What does the preacher of God teach? The same thing. He looks at the people and he does not see good old staunchy good Christian men and women. No, the preacher of the gospel, and he himself in the same position, looks out and he sees harlots, spiritual adulterers, people that are wayward and have left the path. But big deal, if you listen to me, listen to the Holy Spirit, and believe in what Jesus did at the cross, and that alone, and don't listen to anybody else, I've got a promise for you tonight. When the judgment of God comes to you, and your name's called, and it's appointed your time to die, you're coming out alive. Woo! That's what the church should be giving people. Not law. Not pat them on the back, tell them you're going to be all right. Joshua and his men did not care that they were talking to a harlot. They didn't care who she was. The Spirit of God had sent these men in to save this woman. But she had to believe that what they were preaching was the truth. She had to believe. Listen to me now. She'd heard a lot of stories and a lot of tales about the power of God bringing these people out of Egypt. And we all know how people are. By the time it had gotten to Jericho, it probably was, who knows what kind of stories were going around. The words say that the hearts melted. There was no courage in anybody. Israel's coming to Jericho. They were all scared to death. And you think about what they told her. You think about how crazy their solution to her salvation was. This God that's steamrolling the entire land, and these guys show up, spies, asking to be hidden in the roof. Tell this harlot that if you put a scarlet thread out your window, that God and all that power will spare you. That would have been nonsense. That's completely illogical. Surely you need something greater and more than just a scarlet thread to spare you from the judgment of such a God and such a power and such a people. But that's the preaching of the cross. The judgment of God is so powerful, many people are scared, and many people, some of you right in tonight, are fearful of death. And you're thinking, there's got to be something that I can do down here as far as a person that will give me some sort of leeway and leverage when I die before the eyes of God. And the truth is, there's only one thing that counts for you. Do you believe in the precious blood of Jesus Christ and what he did upon the cross? This little harlot heard the message, felt the fear of God. And as I said Wednesday night, feared God and took the lamb. Her fear of God was wisdom. And when she'd given the knowledge of the Holy One, it was considered understanding. She understood that I need that blood. That when the judgment of God comes to my house, I need that standing outside my window. That if God does not see the red scarlet typifying the blood of a lamb, he will wipe me out. She had banked everything on that scarlet thread. She had thrown all hopes upon that scarlet thread. She had plunged everything, forsook everything she knew or had been taught by anybody on the planet. And she heard only what two foreign spies told her. Two preachers of the gospel show up by the power of the Holy Spirit and give her the most unbelievable answer and solution to her problem. The blood of the Lamb. That the same way that Egypt came, or that Israel came out of Egypt, that God say, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. That same preaching that delivered 3-4 million out of Egypt was the same preaching given to a little insignificant harlot in the city of Jericho. Power fell on Jericho. Power of God took Jericho and just flattened it. And all the high walls where the chariot races are, flattened it down to nothing. Pancaked probably the greatest fortress on the planet that day. Yet all that power was not even close to the power of God that brought the harlot out of the rubble. Just like in Egypt, all the miracles that God did, there was still a power left to be seen, left to be known. There was still a power that the earth needed to know about. It was the power of the blood. That the men marching around Jericho and blowing trumpets 7 times and dropping the high walls down did not compare to the power of the blood that was able to snatch up a little harlot girl from the rubble. That her and all her house were saved because she was obedient to a message. The fear of God was there that gave her, she had a lot of options. She could have ran, could have fled. But those men told her, you're out in the street. If you're not behind the precious blood of the Lamb, your blood will be on your head. That means you won't have the testimony of the Lamb. You'll have to stand against the judgment of God all on your own. It's sobering and humbling to know that. That if I don't believe in what Jesus did at the cross, I would be as that harlot running out in the street and having to stand against the power of God that flattened those walls in one breath. Untold millions die and go to hell and are flattened by the judgment of God and sent to everlasting destruction. One, some of them heard the message, but deemed the message as not enough to escape the wrath of God. Some deceived, no longer believe that the judgment of God is even pointed at them anymore. Excuse themselves right out of the game. But you've got to understand something. The Holy Spirit's trying to drive home to the people here and on the internet that what those men told Rahab, God's telling you tonight. If you forsake the blood and run out on the street, you will have to stand against the power and the judgment of God all on your own. Now, if you can't stand up to a hurricane and a tornado, if you can't stand up to a 9.0 earthquake, how are you going to stand up against the judgment of God? What are you going to do or pull out of your pocket, or as Mark calls a tickle trunk, to abate the wrath of God? What are you going to do? You going to lift up your life? You going to lift up what you did on this earth? Are you going to foreshow the things, the good things that you did? The power, the wrath of God. Well, don't even look at that. The only thing that you can show forth now is the same thing that Rahab did. You can hear the messengers preach the wrath to come and hang the blood of the Lamb out your window by faith and that alone, and you can forsake everything else under the sun and believe only in that work. And when you do that, you can finally have a life, as Jesus called, more abundantly. You can have life and have it more abundantly. You can finally be happy. You think of that little harlot. I was thinking about this today. The terror that Israel gave upon the land that the Lord went forth, it's hard to express. We live in a society today that we don't ever have that. We don't have a nation on earth that is knocking at our door that we're afraid could come and just wipe our houses down and mow us down and kill us. We don't know what that's like. I don't. I've never known that fear. But those people, Rahab and her family, knew that fear. And they were scared, even though they had the walls and all the things up. Something greater gripped their heart and soul that said, when these people show up, we're in some serious trouble. And when finally she heard the message of the cross, Rahab laid her head down that night, I believe, and was finally at peace. Finally at peace. Finally knew that she had something hanging out her window that guaranteed her the wrath of God would not touch her. And that a Savior would come and take her out of that place and bring her into a new land. She would have a new master and a new king. That the old Rahab was dead, buried in the rubble that she walked away from as the hand of Joshua led her out. She was born again. And when you hear the message of the cross, and you're in any kind of religion or any kind of any kind of self trying to get self better or any program under the sun, I guarantee you cannot lay your head down without fear, without anxiety, without depression. It's gripping everybody. But finally, when you hear the message of the cross, you're born again. You're finally made dead to the nonsense that held you and the power of the sin nature. Rahab was a harlot no more. She walked away from Jericho and the rubble and the dust of her old life. She was made new under a new master and under a new God and under a new king, a new Savior, and his name was Jesus Christ. That her faith in the blood of the Lamb eliminated and destroyed everything she was, held dear, or had. And she was brought forth under a new and living way. That's how God works. God brings you out, brings you the message of the cross. He destroys everything you were before you heard it. And the Holy Spirit constantly reminds you, do not look back, but move forward. Rahab had nothing. Jericho offered her nothing anymore. In her eyes, it had become nothing. It was destroyed. There was nothing left. She probably had friends in Jericho that didn't walk with her anymore. People that she held dear, friends and family, children that they had, the relationships were all dead. That was a physical separation and severing. But it typifies the spiritual severing that occurs when the Holy Spirit finally reveals to you the fear of God. And you look at that and realize that fear is real and then gives you the answer, which is the blood of the Lamb. And when you take that and that alone, you are born again and everything else that you knew, had, or held dear is completely crushed by God. It has to be. This is a violent gospel, the message of the cross. It forces men and women to put the blood of the Lamb. It demands that men and women put the blood of the Lamb first and foremost. The Holy Spirit will never stop driving it into the hearts of the believer. that the it has to be by the blood of Jesus. And that whatever you had before was garbage. And it was dung. And God destroyed it. That perhaps years down the road, Rahab, I'm sure, as we all have, even after Jericho was destroyed and wiped off, perhaps there was something good back then. Perhaps we could use some of the things that Jericho did and the people that they did and bring it forth unto this new life in Israel with these people. Do you realize that God had just flat out dropped the gavel down or the meat cleaver down and cut her off from everything except the message of the cross? And that's what he's trying to do with you and I. He's trying to make your past, your relationships, your friends, and everything you do, he's trying to make it in your eyes as he made Jericho in Rahab's eyes. I've got nothing but the blood from now on. That is so sweet and beautiful. This little story of Rahab. And having that fear of God is so dear and precious. It is something the church must always have. But when you want to make money and you want your numbers to grow and you want to fill the seats, you have to water down that fear. Because when you tell people that hell is real and you go there unless you believe in the blood of the Lamb, that's not popular. It's not hip. It's not on the cutting edge of the fads of our day. That's old school. That's old time preaching and gospel. That's something that is not fit into our society today. Everybody else is embracing the new programs, the new books. Why won't you? Because I don't want to die. I'd like to make it to heaven. I'd like to see the promised land. I'd like to see the glory of God. I'd like to be perfect one day. I'd like to be made in the image of God and in the fashion that Jesus is, filled with glory and a body that never grows old and never deteriorates, and finally be free from the power of the sin nature forever and ever and ever and ever. So I'm going, should I learn from the theologians of my day? Should I learn from all the great scholars and all their books on the New York Times bestseller? No, thank you. I'm going to learn from a harlot. I'll let this little harlot be my teacher. I'll let her show me what is wisdom. It's the fear of God. What is understanding? It's throwing the red scarlet, the blood of the Lamb, out your window and saying, that's done. I ain't leaving. I'm not moving until he pulls me out. And one day that spiritual harlot named Evan might hang behind that blood of the Lamb. And Jesus Christ is going to step out of heaven. And from this Jericho, this wicked, vile earth, this earth that he's about and ready to destroy and change forever and ever and ever, when he steps out, this little spiritual harlot, I pray, is standing behind the blood of the Lamb. And the Father will say, Jesus, go get him. Go pluck him out of the rubble called the earth. Snatch him up and bring him back to the good land, to the holy land, to the promised land. You see, tonight, it's so beautiful. I love the word of God because, no, I don't care who you are or how much you might lift yourself up, the word of God specifically put this story, put this harlot in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ to show forth the fact that men could learn from a little harlot. Because wisdom is not something that men have. Knowledge and understanding is not something they have. It has to be given by God. Israel didn't have it in the sense that they created or made it on their own. It was given to them by God. And I want to tell the church tonight, as I started this off, the time is ripe and ready. The fear of God has gripped this nation and this world. And it's time that the messengers go in and tell the harlots of this world about the blood of the Lamb. That upon the internet and out to anybody who would click on a computer, sitting behind a desk or a laptop, gripped with the fear of God and the uncertainty of tomorrow, and yet the meager ministers and messengers that we are could walk right into their home and tell them to put their faith in the blood and you'll live. It is absolutely beautiful. Oh, it's amazing. This is what technology is for. This is why the internet is here. See, God knew in this day and age, as the Apostle Paul prophesied to the power of the Holy Spirit, in the end days would be perilous times. Many, many and thousands and millions will be deceived and fall away. And can you imagine that this little obscure, insignificant church in North Pekin, Illinois, would have the message of life, liberty, and godliness? Can you imagine? Did you ever think for a moment? It blows me away when I ponder it. That we would be those messengers, as Joshua was and his men of old, sent in to get some people out. They didn't get them all out. All of Jericho was lost, but a harlot and her family. That ought to speak volumes. Church is so concerned with numbers and that. It's all hogwash. The Bible doesn't teach that. The church you have nowadays, in some churches, you take evaluations to even get in. They don't even want harlots coming in the door. They want the cream of the crop of society. They want the leaders and the great businessmen to come in so they can feed their hungry mouths with money and promote them and bring people into their seminars, their stupid seminars, their teaching classes. Man, if we just could learn something from the Word of God. God said, I don't care what anybody else in that Jericho does. I want the little harlot that fears me, has heard of me, and is trembling. And when I tell her the message, when I give her the gospel, she'll believe. She'll fall on her knees and cling to the precious blood of the Lamb. There could have been 5, 6, 7 million in that city. God didn't care. I want the harlot. The last person you thought would get out by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to close down early tonight. But I just want you to think about this. You can learn from this little harlot. She was completely put in the Word of God and held through centuries and centuries, protected by the power of the Holy Spirit, hidden in catacombs. The Word of God was preserved, and her story was preserved so that it could be preached to you tonight. That this little harlot feared God and believed in the blood of the Lamb, and she was saved from the judgment of God. I don't know how it gets any clearer than that. But we have a great There's one thing we're good at is removing ourselves from the types that God has placed in to show us. Because we like to think of ourselves, first of all, as the Joshua, as we're out saving. But really, God wants you to know tonight, think of yourself as the harlot. Drop the pride, the self-righteousness. Think of yourself as a little harlot who doesn't know God. But fears, judgment and fears the God of the universe and earth. And when the message came, I could be joined to that God, saved by that God, and spared his judgment if I just believe the word that was spoken to me. Believe tonight in the blood of the Lamb. Cast everything else aside and just take the precious work of the cross. And I guarantee you'll live. Promise from the Holy Spirit, from God himself. You take and set yourself, your heart and mind behind the precious blood of the Lamb. And I'm coming one day. I'm stepping out. Coming from heaven. And I will pull you out of the rubble that this earth will be. Snatch you up and take you back home to spend eternity with me. That's a promise from God. Just believe in what Jesus did at the cross. Just believe. Hallelujah. Thank you.